Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months. Hey there, welcome to session 294 of Selling the Couch. So this is actually going to be our last podcast episode for the year. I like to take November and December off just to refresh, recharge, get a few new episodes uploaded, guests reached out to, and all of that kind of stuff. And you know, with this last episode, I'm actually trying to do something a little bit new and a little bit different. So I wanted to use this episode more as a time to reflect and share with you some of the life and business lessons that I've learned in this past year. In terms of the actual structure of the episode, I'm going to share what my personal goal was for this year. I'm going to share 5 lessons that I learned, and then I'm going to wrap up with sharing in terms of what I want to focus on next year. Hey friends, we are on sabbatical from the STC podcast. This is my first sabbatical in 7 years, but we will be back in April with brand new episodes of the STC podcast. In the meantime, there are a lot of things happening still with STC. Among them is a brand new workshop that we put together for you that you can sign up at a date and time that works for you. If you are a successful private practitioner and interested in launching an online course, you can check out that workshop over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. Again, that's sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. So in terms of my personal goals, my biggest goal was to take an indefinite sabbatical from clinical work to go all in on STC. Back in session 210, which happened in March 22nd of 2021, that episode is all about this decision. So if you want to dive a little deeper, I encourage you to check out that episode. But that ultimately for me, the decision to leave clinical work to focus on STC came down to a couple of things. The first thing is just having this humble realization that I'm not really wired to run 2 different businesses. My mind just doesn't work that way. I'm just not on a stage of life where that even makes sense. The second thing is just doing a lot of self-reflection and realizing that my calling in life is to serve our field in terms of how we can use our skill sets to help others beyond the therapy room. And then third, I wanted to live out this idea, this tenet that I really believe in, which is to build a life around family versus family around a career. Looking back, this was the best decision that I made this year. I remember in the months leading up to that decision and even that podcast episode, I labored over that decision. I had all sorts of fears and doubts. You know, would I be seen as a credible source? How can I be, you know, sharing and having private practitioners on when I'm not a private practitioner? And all of these different things. And the one thing I just realized in this whole past year is You know, we live in this society where success is often defined as just financial, especially in the world of entrepreneurship and private practice and all of these things, right? For me, what I've started to do is think about it a lot more differently. And this decision significantly affected and improved my mental health. I shared in that previous episode about how my mind was racing all the time. Like I would be thinking about private practice and building that out and the marketing into that. And then when my mind was done with that, I would flip over to STC and think about all of the different products and services and how do I integrate all of those things that were happening for STC. I also struggled and shared about my bouts of depression that came as a result of this. And I just realized that I didn't want to live that kind of life. And my sleep quality was also getting worse and worse. I remember when I was running the two businesses, fortunately it wasn't like all the time, but it was happening enough where it concerned me, where sometimes I would get up at like 1:30, 2 in the morning and my mind would, I don't know, it would just start racing and I would have all sorts of thoughts and then I would get up because I couldn't go back to sleep. Then I would end up like working like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then I would try to get back to sleep and it was just not sustainable. Letting go of the private practice for me meant more than anything, just time for my mind to rest, and my sleep quality has significantly improved. You know, I'm a big fan of having lots of time for our mind to wander, dream, and form connections, because I really believe that that's where creativity springs from. And I believe one of the most essential things to make that happen is just having high quality rest. So in terms of the lessons that I learned this year, my first lesson is I don't want to keep swapping Corel plates. So you're probably like, Mel, like Corel plates, like those plates. Yeah. So it's exactly what I'm talking about. A few years ago, we actually got to go up to Ithaca, New York. And this is where like the Corningware factory is. We got to, tour it. And there's like this awesome like museum where there's glass, things like made of glass. It's a cool place. But I share that story because when I was growing up, my parents had these Corel plates. I know they were, probably not like super expensive. I actually did like a Google search before this episode. You can get Corel plates, I think, for like $4 a plate. But I loved these plates because, they're like unbreakable. They're, super sturdy and they just seem to last a long time. In fact, when we moved to our house, I asked my mom if I could have the Corel plates, big Corel plate and the small Corel plate that I typically use. And that's actually how I eat my typical meals. I usually use one of those two plates. But I shared that story with you because I realized that I'm no longer in a season where I can just swap out the size of my plate. I used to be able to do this like pretty easily. For example, if I had more commitments, I could be like, okay, in my mind, okay, I can now put my bigger Corel plate in. And that means I can stuff more stuff, into this plate. Or if there was like a season where I wasn't doing as much, and then it's like, okay, small Corel plate mode, right? But what I have come to realize is the size of the plate is not something I really want to change anymore. In fact, for me, what I've even realized is, and this I think varies for everybody, but I can handle around 5 to 6 responsibilities at one time. I know that sounds like a lot, but like, let me explain a little bit more. So two things are non-negotiable for me, family and my own mental health, which leaves me with 4 things. And those 4 things for me right now are podcast, the Healthcasters podcasting course and the community, online course school, which is the new cohort we just launched, and then a high-level elite mastermind that we run for therapists that are either monetizing their podcasts or I want one more support from me in order to create and launch their online course. And that is good. That feels like it is a lot, but we've got a nice system down. I feel like it's a good pace. It gives me a lot of enrichment to do all of those things, but it doesn't like overwhelm me at the same time. The second lesson that I learned and thought a lot about was, what is enough? And this conversation or this thought was something I had been thinking a lot about just over the course of this whole pandemic year, and thinking about, you know, how, you know, like all of these kind of things, right? Like, how much is enough? What is the purpose of my life? All of these big questions that I know that you know, many of us have, you know, often think about, right? So I met with Dr. Corey Bank earlier this year. Corey's a psychologist who was the very first guest ever on the STC podcast. And he talked about many of the lessons that he had learned at the time. He had been in private practice for around 15 years. And one of the things, and we've, you know, maintained a friendship over these years. And one of the things that I have really admired about Corey is the fact that he lives a life that is full of purpose and intent and intention, right? So his weeks are filled with, you know, time for exercise and time with his family and time to like share meals, time to connect with friends. And I just, you know, I realized that's the kind of life that I want, you know, something that my days are meaningful. I, you know, go into each day excited and all of those things. I don't want to wait until retirement to kind of create that. And so I asked Corey, and this, because it was something I was struggling with. And I was like, hey, Corey, like, how do you know when it's enough? And he's like, enough. And I'm like, yeah, like, how do you know when it's like enough for your business? Like, you've grown it to a level that you want. And, you know, because we live in this society where everyone, you know, you're constantly told to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, right? Doing more and more. And he shared with me a story that I can't get out of my mind. And I wanted to share it with you. So it's actually a conversation that happened between the authors Kurt Vonnegut and Joseph Heller. And this was published a number of years ago, but I wanted to just briefly read the story with you. So this is coming from Joseph Heller. True story, word of honor. Joseph Heller, an important and funny writer, now dead. Oh, I'm sorry. This is coming from Kurt Vonnegut. So true story, word of honor. Joseph Heller, an important and funny writer, now dead, and I were at a party given by a billionaire on Shelter Island. I said, Joe, how does it make you feel to know that our host only yesterday may have made more money than your novel Catch-22 has earned in its entire history? And Joe said, I've got something he can never have. And I said, what on earth could that be, Joe? And Joe said, the knowledge that I've got enough, not bad, rest in peace. This was an article that Kurt Vonnegut wrote in the New Yorker back in 2005. And I don't know, I've been thinking a lot about that story because, I mean, clearly these are individuals who had been very successful and, you know, just realizing like how much is really enough, you know? And for me, I alluded to this earlier, I put my self-worth and my idea of success in just financial, right? So if I met a financial goal, I felt like I was the greatest person in the world, right? I was a successful business owner. I knew all of these things. I don't know why I'm getting emotional talking about this. I think it's still, you know, a little bit raw, but I wanted to be open and transparent with you guys. So I think this year I started looking at like my life a lot more holistically. And what I realized is finances and financial wealth. And side note, I realize the privilege of even being able to say these statements, right? Like that fortunately, I have a business that is at least at a financial level where it is this. So I wanted to at least just share that. But, you know, I just started thinking about like, are finances the only indicator? Because it seems like there's other indicators that are important to me, right? Like my time with my family. Like I don't want to take on something and end up, you know, it makes a lot of money, but then at the end of the day, it means that I have less time with my partner and with our daughter, you know? And it reminded me of a quote that, you know, it hangs on my wall. It's from Gary Keller. It's from the book, The One Thing. And it says, work is a rubber ball. If you drop it, it will bounce back. The other four balls, family, health, friends, and integrity, are made of glass. If you drop one of these, it will be irrevocably scuffed, nicked, and perhaps even shattered. And I think that quote was such a good reminder for me of, you know, work is always there, right? You can always build things, you can take away things, all of these things, right? But there are these other parts of your life, our families, our health, our friends, and our integrity that are made of glass. And you have to be really mindful that you are thinking about those aspects, even as you build all of these things. You know, on a related note, when I have, you guys have heard, you know, so many conversations with very successful private practitioners and entrepreneurs in general on this podcast. And when I speak to them, you know, what we'll do is we'll record for around 20 to 25 minutes, but I always schedule an hour long. And I always tell them, like, we'll talk for about 20 to 25 minutes, but I want to spend about 20 minutes just getting to know you, hearing your story, all of these things, right? But that doesn't get released on the episode. But one of the themes that's very consistent when I'm having conversations with all of these successful business owners is that significant financial stress comes with its own stresses. For example, the stress of hiring and managing a team, right? The stress of feeling, you know, if you're an online content creator, as well as a successful business owner, feeling a different level of pressure for online content to do really well, right? This sort of, I guess it seems, it's always hard to like find the balance, right? Between like wanting to focus on the business and seeing this business that's growing, but then having time for your own self-care and your own family and loved ones. It's not saying that it can't be done, of course, or that we shouldn't strive for it, but it's more about asking what I want and what each of us want. One thing I learned this year is a small to a small medium business can be a destination versus a pit stop. The third lesson that I learned is I love teaching and I want to create more space for that. You know, as I'm recording this, we're actually just literally about 5 hours ago finished up. We started our sixth week of online course school. So I'm going through an alpha group with 9 of our colleagues, and we're in the span of 8 weeks, we're basically taking their online course idea from validating it all the way to brainstorming lessons and modules, creating sales pages, having conversations with potential students, figuring out how to market it, and then also then actually, you know, getting the beta members into, or, you know, doing a pilot group for the course, right? So basically they're taking their course idea from an idea to validation to figuring out actually how do you record stuff all the way to launch, right? And it's been such a joy. It is a lot of work creating cohort-based course. I don't hear that like, oh, this sounds amazing. It is a lot of work. But I think when you love the work, it doesn't always feel like work, right? And a cohort course, side note, a cohort course is where you actually go through the materials, the lessons, and the exercises together with like a facilitator and then a group of like-minded people. But I, you know, like even last week, again, this isn't, I realize the first time we're doing this, the lift is going to be a lot bigger on my end. But I had texted my VA and I started working on some of these exercises for our sales page because, you know, we just got done with how do you create a sales page. And I walked the students through these steps, these series of exercises to get their sales page from this abstract thing to like, okay, let's work on your headline. Let's weave in your story. Let's, you know, all of these things, right? Creating these exercises, I think, took me a little under 6 hours. Like I think five hours and 45 minutes. I tried to work on it in a pretty big stretch and I was exhausted, but I was just so happy because I was like creating this and I was just imagining the students and just the look on their faces and just the relief, you know, knowing that they had, that these exercises helped them create their course sales page. And there's such a joy that I feel when I work with a small group of colleagues and I play this like tiny role in the creation of their podcast or in the creation of their online course. And for me, it's even, there's like this joy, right? Even today, when we started our conversation, I was like, hey guys, here are some of the biggest mistakes that I made. So just being able to say like, hey, this is a mistake that I made with the Healthcasters course back when I launched it in 2015. And I want to tell you about it so you don't make that same mistake. I don't know, it's just such a joy that I feel. The fourth lesson is that I really value a few deep and authentic relationships with fellow creators. you know, I realize that I have this very public platform with this podcast, and where I have the privilege of having my voice in the ears of a lot of folks. A lot of folks is relative, right? But somehow, you know, the podcast is listened to somewhere around 25,000 times a month. But at my core, what I really value is a small social circle and deep, meaningful relationships. I've really been intentional and trying to build that out this year. And I feel like I have a small group of folks that I can always bounce ideas off, that I can just share life with. An example of this is like my friend, Kevin Shen. And this is a pretty crazy story. I saw one of Kevin's YouTube videos about 2 years ago when I was trying to figure out how to up the quality of my home studio and just the videos that I make, whether it's for online courses or just regular like videos. And so I sent him a DM and we just hit it off. We had this really good connection. And now like we text each other pretty much every day. You know, we do a weekly mastermind together. We're always there to sort of think through, you know, how business stuff and life stuff, you know. And I just think there's such power in being, and I've got a couple of folks like that who there's such power in feeling like in something so isolating as running a small business, in just having other people who are there for you and being like, hey, I know you're having a rough day, you know, let me send you this, or let's think about it this way, or let me just be a sounding board. I'm happy to just set time aside just because I know you're going through a lot and I just want to be here for you. And I think being with these friendships, because they don't come with any sort of like an assumption or a pretense or anything like that. Like, you know, I'm friends with these people because we just genuinely enjoy each other's company, right? And it reminded me of this quote by Austin Kleon, which from the book Show Your Work, which is, good work isn't created in a vacuum, and that creativity is always in some sense a collaboration, the result of minds connecting to other minds. And that's what I love about these friendships. I mean, just getting to hear some of these ideas and bouncing off and, you know, just being able to do this life and business journey together. The fifth lesson that I wanted to share, and the last one, is I wouldn't say like STC has had some like massive exponential growth or anything like that. Honestly, mine has just been like slow and really steady incremental growth. I remember 5 years ago, even before I was thinking about starting STC, I had this thing of like, I wonder if, you know, this thing does like halfway decent, would it like turn me into this like arrogant and brash person? And I don't know, it's just, I know it sounds really silly, like even as I'm sharing this on this podcast, but what it's actually made me is more grateful. I was actually speaking to my church pastor the other week, and, you know, I'm 39, and my pastor asked me, you know, do you love what you do? Because I was sharing with him just sort of my, you know, all the stuff I'm doing and all of this stuff. And I said, oh, yes, you know, I get to help my field through the gifts that I feel like, you know, God's given me. I get to work 4 days a week. I have evenings and weekends with my wife and with our daughter. I get to do daddy-daughter days on Fridays. And I get to spend ample time, evenings and weekends, like focusing on experiences, going out to, you know, an apple orchard, or grabbing, you know, breakfast at a little coffee shop or something like that. And he said, you know, that sounds like a really good life. And, you know, he's someone that I really respect. And there was a moment in my mind, I just thought, yeah, you know, it is a really good life. I think so many times, at least for me, like we all feel like we have to keep striving and pushing. But the truth is, I love this pace of life. And I think we all deserve the pace of life that makes the most sense for us. You know, my weeks are super enriching. They're not always easy, right? There's always inevitable stress that comes up with small business ownership. But by and large, I have the opportunity to connect with a small group of people. I have this podcast that reaches a way bigger audience. And then I have time for learning, for rest and exercise, and time with my loved ones. I think all of this, you know, I think all of us have had this realization from this pandemic. We're asking these big questions of like, what our priorities in life are, what am I meant to do in this world? And I realized like those are, I'm living the life that I want to live, and it's a meaningful and purposeful life. And I don't really want to do anything more that comes at the expense of that, you know? So in terms of stuff that I want to focus on next year, two things. The first thing is intentionally work on my money stuff, because I realize what's holding me back from STC becoming the level of like success that I would like. Again, it's not like a massive financial number, but it's more, there's just a disconnect. It's not the creative ideas that I have or my schedule or any of the things, but it's actually myself. And I'm unintentionally, I think, not all the time, but a lot of the time, I'm unintentionally self-sabotaging my own success, because like I don't value myself and my knowledge and expertise. This year, I've been doing a lot of work on it through therapy and brain spotting and all of this stuff. And next year, this is like, I want to take it sort of the next level and really intentionally think about this. And then the other thing is, I want to focus on making online course school an amazing experience for therapists. I mean, this is a brand new offering. I struggled for a number of years, even though I've had good success with my podcasting course. I know the life of a course creator. I would never teach anything that I haven't had, you know, significant success with. But I don't know. And just finally launching it with this alpha group and just seeing and just being with the members and our colleagues, just seeing what they're creating and putting into the world, it's so enriching. I shared this the other week in our online community, but I really think in the next 10 years, if not sooner, I think every therapist having an online course will be as important as having a business website. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, we all know there's a mental health crisis globally here in the US and definitely globally. Practically, what this means is there aren't enough clinicians to account for the number of potential folks that need help, right? And so we really have to start thinking about what are some other ways that we can be of service. And I think online courses are that way. And I think we're also related to the pandemic. I think many of us are realizing, like, do we want one-to-one work to be all of our income streams, right? And so, yeah, I'm so excited for it. And we're working about two-thirds of the way through. I've got so many ideas, stuff that we've learned this first alpha round. We did an alpha round because it's really important for me to, like, before I publicly release anything, that we have as much of the kinks ironed out and make it a quality product. And anytime I release something, I don't know if this is the right business way to think about it, but I actually don't like often focus on revenue. I actually try to focus on making it the best experience, because I've realized that you guys are investing your time and your hard-earned money into working with me, and I want to give you something that far exceeds it. So we're working on a bunch of different stuff. So I can't quite share them all because I'm not quite sure which ones are going to actually like materialize, because, you know, I want to kind of get feedback and all of that stuff. But I can share two things that we're hoping to implement for our first official cohort here in the spring. The first one is peer support coaches. So these would be colleagues that have actually gone through our alpha course, that have gone through the curriculum, that have actually created their online course. They're going to be serving as mentors in addition to, you know, the support that you would have from me and all of these things. And I just think doing something like that in community is so powerful. And then the second thing is just, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, how can I use the strength of the STC brand to support the marketing of your course? Still ironing this out, but one thing we're definitely leaning toward is a student page on the STC site, where once you've created your online course, you can actually submit it. And that way we can share your course on the STC site and you can get some of that traffic coming your way as well. Of course, mean to turn this episode into some kind of a sales pitch, but if you are interested in launching an online course next year and you want to do this in community, please take a moment to download the free A to Z online course guide over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-guide. I'll send an email in December 2021 to create a wait list. I'm sure we'll create some sort of, you know, as long as you download the A to Z online course guide, I'll keep you updated when we launch. This is going to be a higher priced offering, and it's best for us who are at least 5 years in to the business journey. We're already successful business owners, but we want to add an online course either to diversify income or and or to pull back on one-on-one work. Again, that link is over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-guide. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to today's episode and just being with me throughout this past year. I do this for you guys, and I am just so humbled for the privilege to be able to do this. And I'm going to take a much-needed break and a much-needed rest. We'll be back in the new year.
Hey, friends. We are on sabbatical from the STC podcast. This is my first sabbatical in 7 years, but we will be back in April with brand new episodes of the STC podcast. In the meantime, there are a lot of things happening still with STC. Among them is a brand new workshop that we put together for you that you can sign up at a date and time that works for you. If you are a successful private practitioner and interested in launching an online course, you can check out that workshop over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. Again, that's sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop.
Have a great rest of your day. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting-workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting-workshop.